Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And the globalization of architecture is nothing new. Famous, accomplished architects design buildings all over the world and create diverse skylines. But is it good for architecture and for residents of the cities where these starchitects, that is, star architects, swoop in? My next guest has a few thoughts on that. He is Witold Rybczynski, the Emeritus Professor of Urbanism at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's written about this for the New York Times T Magazine. Hi, Witold. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's nice to be back.
So cities and institutions love to hire starchitects these days. It gives off an air of cosmopolitanism and prestige. It means buildings don't all look the same in one place necessarily. They can be adventurous. Bring in influences from these stars. What's bad about this?
I think several things. What struck me when I started thinking about it was that how new this wall was. If you went to New York in 1950, you would see only buildings by New Yorkers, with rare exceptions. Frank Lloyd Wright being one of them, but basically, New Yorkers built New York, and then when you went to Chicago, you saw different architects because they were just Chicago architects, and New York architects didn't build in Chicago. So what you said is true. They're exciting buildings. They're different, but they're all starting to look different in the same way. So you get Parisian architects building in New York and in Paris, and then when you go to Paris, you see the same buildings that you just saw in New York. So it does tend to flatten out the landscape and make places look sort of the same. And so the character of a city, and I'm thinking especially of cities, the character of cities starts to kind of blend in. And you see the same buildings in London and New York and Chicago and
because
Paris.
They're all designed by these same few stars.
Exactly. And the other thing that's bad about it is that it doesn't build up any local talent, because building buildings in other cities doesn't make the local architects any better than they were. The only way an architect gets good is by building buildings, and that's how New York developed the wonderful skyscraper style, which is very different from what you find in Philadelphia and Chicago, say, in the 1930s, the New York skyscrapers, because they're built by New Yorkers and they're trying things, and they know each other. So you talk about an architectural scene because the architects work for each other, they know each other, they meet each other, they argue, they debate. They don't just parachute in and parachute out.
And on that point, one line that really struck me from your piece was, quote, architecture is a social art rather than a personal one, a reflection of a society and its values rather than a medium of individual expression. You know, we were just talking about that with respect to soccer and how the soccer teams of different World Cup participants actually reflect something about the national cultures. So can you go a little more deeply into that with respect to architecture?
Yes, I think your architecture isn't like novel writing or playwriting. It's not a personal creative discipline. It's creative and it's artistic, but it's also social. And that's why I think that's what's so valuable about architecture. It tells you something about the architect, but it also tells you a lot more about the place and the society that he grew up in or she grew up in. And so when we look back on the Chrysler Building, we don't really just think of the architect. We think of the roaring 20s and 30s and New York at that time and the Jazz Age. All of those things are caught up in that building. And I make the point in the article that I think architects often do their best work at home. And when they build in another place, they don't know the place the way they know their home city. They don't know the climate, they don't know the people, they don't know the sort of atmosphere. It's sometimes hard to put your finger what that means. But, you know, Frank Gehry built Disney Hall in L.A., and I think it's a wonderful building. And part of its greatness is that Gehry understands L.A. It's his city, he lives there. It's not like building in Bilbao or Seattle or New York. He's building in a place where he understands the people, he understands what they're looking for, He goes to that concert hall regularly because he enjoys music. And so there's a kind of connection there which you don't get if you just go to, you know, Beijing and you build a building there and you probably never see it again.
Listeners, we have about 5 minutes for this with Vito Lubchinsky. If anybody wants to weigh in, just as we were taking calls on what the soccer style of your country of origin says about the national culture, how about the architecture style for any of you who might follow this of any particular city and what it says about this that place and whether the global starchitect system threatens it? 212-433-WNYC. I don't know if we'll get anybody on this, but if any of you has a thought along those lines, 212-433-9692 for Vito Lubchinsky. And then Wynton Marsalis coming up as our next guest to talk about the unusual venue for his concert in the Bronx tonight and some of the history that goes with it at the Woodlawn Cemetery. But Vito, do you think this is a problem in New York, or do so many of the star architects live here that it's more of an issue in other cities?
I think it's more of an issue in other cities, but it is an issue in New York. The character of the architecture is starting to get sort of muddied in New York. It's harder to put your finger on it because you do have a lot of English architects and Italian architects and French architects building big buildings. It's going to come out first, I suppose, in the skyline, because that's going to change as these very tall buildings are built by architects from other places. The character of the skyline, I think, will change. And the kind of character of the 1930s, which was very local to New York, you looked at the skyline, you immediately knew it was New York. You know, in 50 years, will New York look like Shanghai and Beijing and London, and it will have lost the particularity?
Right. Let's get some listener thoughts here. Alan in Manhattan. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Brian. I did study architecture before I went to law school, and one of my thoughts about this is that although there's an entertainment factor in having the best, most entertaining architect that money can buy, captured by globalization in each of the largest cities and creating a wow factor for audiences walking the streets, what we really need to do is try to refocus public attention on what it is about architecture that makes it sustainable.
Thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there and go on to the next caller, Brian in Harlem. You're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. Thanks a lot. I think basically, if you talk about architecture as an art form, this is a represent, now it's representing itself as a globalization of our culture. You know, we're becoming one mass globalized culture, and it's becoming reflected in our architecture.
Frank Gehry as McDonald's, or is that too strong?
I'll take the rest of it off the air.
Thank you very much. I'll just go to Dan in Brooklyn. Dan, you're on WNYC. You are an architect?
I am an architect, and I've had an issue with this for a long time now, where I find architecture from starchitects has become more about branding and authorship about themselves and a sculpture to be seen from the exterior rather than the program from the interior driving the design of the building, because people who hire architects are going to be working within it most of the time rather than looking at it.
Dan, thank you very much. And how much, Vito, is that a real tension in architecture? It's something we've talked about on the show over the years, but you know, the idea that an architect is somebody who's thinking about a building from the outside and how it looks as part of the skyline and these kind of abstract aesthetic considerations without thinking so much about the experience of living or working on that in that building from the inside, which is really what it's for, or primarily what it's for. Is that a real conflict, or do architects always take the experience into account, and this is just a little, bomb that people lob at the profession?
I'm not sure if it's really a conflict, because architects are working for clients, and clients are, if it's an apartment building, they're renting the apartment building or selling the apartments, so they're very concerned about the inside appealing to people, and so the interior is not going to get ignored. It's going to get just as much attention, perhaps more attention, because in most of the buildings the big buildings going up in New York, you have different architects doing different parts of the building. So Frank Gehry may do the outside of the building, but there's another architect who's doing the apartment layouts and making sure all that works for the New York market.
Gloria in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Okay. Thank you. Well, I wanted to reflect on the architecture in Ponce, where I was born in Puerto Rico. We call them balcones, you know, the balconies down by the plaza. And they were built by an uncle of mine. And it's a sense of pride for us because whenever we're down there, we remember he was the one who actually designed them and built them. So this is mostly of...
And in a kind of traditional Spanish-influenced style?
Exactly. I was going to say it's traditional in terms of architecture, basically from the Spanish, the Spaniards.
And do you see in San Juan or anywhere else, because I don't know Puerto Rico in this respect, starkitecture coming in and globalizing, homogenizing the look of buildings in Puerto Rico?
I would say that, and I was thinking about that, that there is some change. I suspect it may be, and I'm not, you know, I haven't done any research on this, but it may be because of the changing structure of society in the island, and they may be making buildings that are more modern.
Seem more modern. Gloria, thank you very much. Vitol Rybczynski, we're almost out of time. I want to throw in one other issue that I see you wrote about on your blog that we've been covering here. It's the plans for LG's new headquarters, which would be the first building to rise above the tree line over the Palisades in New Jersey. Very controversial. We've talked about this on the show a few times, but we haven't had an architect's take. What is your take?
I don't know the details of the project, but what struck me was that there was an architectural question of, is the architect responsible for the fact that the building is taller and sticks out of the trees? And it seemed to me that we should hold the architects responsible for these things. It's not just the client or the zoning. There are different ways of designing things. And, you know, architects take credit for green buildings and for affordable housing, so they should take the blame if they're doing something that upsets people, like building a building that, by all accounts, seems to be too tall for its location.
Who is the architect of the LG building? Do you know?
I'm not going to say the name because I'll probably make a mistake. It's one of the large corporate firms.
And
I don't know the individual. The name doesn't. I don't have it in the top of my head.
But architects take responsibility for the social ramifications of your design, says Vitol Rybczynski, the emeritus professor of urbanism at the University of Pennsylvania. You can find his piece about starkitecture for the New York Times T Magazine now if you go to our website, wnyc.org, and click on Brian Lehr Show. And if you're a weekend subscriber to the Times, you'll get it in the T Magazine that comes out in this Sunday's paper. We also have some visual examples on our site right now of starkitecture versus locatecture. So check that all out at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And Vitol, thanks a lot for the conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
And coming up next, Wynton Plays Woodlawn. Wynton Marsalis joins us to talk about his concert and history lesson tonight on a very unusual stage, Woodlawn Cemetery in the Bronx. Stay tuned.